Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheists, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes. Where else do they know you from?
Podcasts.
Yeah. You know her from the podcast, The No God Man. She was in The No God Man.
I do burlesque.
That's right. She does burlesque. You can see her titties, except for the nipple parts.
Right. Those are man nipples.
You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
Please go to iTunes also and subscribe to our podcast
for free.
And write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or... Oh, I just don't care either way.
What's wrong, honey?
I just don't care anymore.
Are you having post-tam blues?
Maybe.
Aw, you'll get to see your friends all again next year.
I know, but I want to see them now.
Well, with the power of the internet, that dream can become a reality.
Will I get to see boobs?
Possibly.
Yay, I feel better now. We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, jackstick. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Buster Balloon and Nick Levin. You know these guys from Showbiz.
Showbiz? Nick's not in Showbiz.
No,
he's shaking his head. He's from Showbiz
here.
Because I met him. I met him at a show.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
I met you. You never know. You seem like a guy with a personality and a thing.
You are on a show right now. Guess what?
You're in Showbiz.
You know him from Showbiz.
Ta-da.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for asking.
All right. And balloon guy.
Hi.
You're known for your balloons.
Yeah.
He's shy.
Indeed.
Nice. He's shy balloons. About his balloons.
So we haven't done an Ardent Atheist in a while. We did an Ardent Atheist back at TAM.
Yeah.
Had a good time at TAM. Did you have a good time at TAM?
Look, I can see your head in the back of the thing.
Am I in that shot?
We just put the studio back together after being in at TAM, so it's a little funky.
Yeah, things
right
are
now.
A little messed up.
So if you see Emery's big head in the shot, just make fun of it.
No.
I like seeing Jesus in the shot.
Where is Jesus? Oh, he's right here.
Jesucristo.
Yeah. But notice he's got a mouth cut out there.
Oh. You know what that's for?
Yeah, I hate to tell you what's been in that hole.
I'm picking his nose.
And where did you get this, by the way? Have we even talked about
I can tell Gilligan? You where I can tell you where I got
Gilligan's
it.
Gilligan's nose.
I don't know that Gilligan's really ever been in the shot normally. We have some, well, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit, not too much. I got it from a friend painted it. It's not even a painting. It's one of those kind
it's
of like...
It's a print of a painting?
Print that he painted over a print and then had it reprinted. Mm. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like it. I liked it a lot. I won it in a silent auction.
Hmm. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I know an artist who does the same thing.
Yeah.
With, like, spiritual beings, though.
Spiritual beings?
Yeah. Spiritual beings.
Well, I found Gilligan to be spiritual.
Yeah.
How in the hell did you find Gilligan to be spiritual?
Look at him.
Well, he's a goofball.
But look at that picture.
He was the original television hippie.
He can give you hope.
Yeah?
Maybe you'll get off the island.
Never. Did they ever get off the island at all?
Yeah.
They did,
and
right?
And there were like two TV movies about it that were really awful.
They were bad?
Because they all just needed money.
Were they as bad as Sharknado?
Nothing as
not
bad
the right
as...
way, no.
Right.
Sharknado is horrible in the best possible way. So.
Yeah. Do we all agree that Sharknado is good bad?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right. Like spectacular bad.
The first time I saw it, I could not believe what I was watching. I just felt like my intellect was being assaulted.
Well, I think they know it. That's the best part.
Yeah?
They make it, and I think they know it. I don't think they attempt to take themselves seriously.
What about Tommy Wiseau? Everybody know about The Room?
The Room.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
The Room?
Both of you...
I'm scared.
...need to find The Room, and don't watch it like you're by yourself. Get a room full of people, watch The Room, and that's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to leave it at that.
So you need a room full of people to watch The Room is what you're saying?
Yes. Every once in a while,
it's not porn. The way you're looking at me, it's like
The Room.
Well,
okay,
it's kind of
get a room.
It's soft pornish.
I don't need
it's
a room.
It's not even.
It's got soft porn qualities to it.
Ew.
The backseat of a car works.
Yeah, right? So watch the room. And by the way, every once in a while, you can see it at like a midnight matinee somewhere or something.
Hmm. Yes, they did that in here in
this is
North
a movie?
Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's one of the worst movies ever made.
Yes it's right? So bad it's a cult kind of thing.
People
right
show up at the theaters and they, you know how Rocky Horror, they throw mm-hmm. things at the... You can go to see this, and there people will bring things, and it's like a Rocky Horror experience.
Nice.
It's just nuts. But the guy who made it, and this is why I bring it up, the guy who made it, his name's Tommy Wiseau. He made the classic mistake right at the opening credits, where he's got a credit for everything. I mean, if I remember right, he's the executive producer. He wrote it. He's also a producer. He's also the director. I believe he might have credited himself because on one particular day of shooting, he
ran the camera or something. You know?
Yeah. I believe he may have been dumb enough to credit himself as a grip or some shit like that. He's just a moron. And so he claims he knew what he was doing. He claims he knew he was making a bad film.
He's got the ego to go with
it,
too.
It's not true. Wow. When you talk to the actors, there was no tongue in the cheek. That guy just... is nuts.
That's quality right there.
It's, and, yeah. And it makes it more amazing and more tragic.
That's when you
in
know.
My opinion.
You're legit.
And because he did so badly, people have a cult following of him. And they've like, you know who Tim and Eric is?
Yeah.
And Eric also. They've had him on his movies and his shows and stuff like that.
My first experience with that movie, and I didn't know it existed at this point, was one night I'm sitting on the couch and I'm trying to watch a Tim and Eric thing, and it was April Fool's. And Tim and Eric was scheduled to be on a particular one-hour show or something, or maybe more. And I put it up there, and I'm watching, thinking, Tim and Eric have they've gone too far. This is
really bad.
Yeah. This is Tim and Eric do comedic bad. You know,
see, that's when you feel almost it's like you want to feel bad for the guy because he takes himself so seriously.
Yeah.
But you want to laugh at him at the same time.
Well, that's kind of the point, I think.
It's a train. Oh, well,
there's a
does he know this about himself, by the way?
It's really awful. There's a tragedy in this. I mean,
see?
I went to watch him because I was so intrigued, and I didn't know. I had no idea from what perspective this guy came. I didn't have any understanding of what was happening on a personal level from his point of view. So I knew that he came to Q&As, and we went down to the theater where they played his movie in four theaters. At the same time, that's how many people fill it up. It's nuts. And Lemley. And so I was going from theater to theater to videotape him, his Q&As, and he would do an opening announcement.
In all fairness, those Lemley theaters are like 50 people each.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
there's like four theaters.
This is the Sunset.
20 people.
The Sunset.
Oh, okay.
But they have like comfortable chairs.
Yes.
Really comfortable. So. I'm running from theater to theater as he's doing his opening, his announcement of thanks for coming, enjoy the thanks. He has this East Block kind of accent. I don't know accents. It could have been walking. I don't know. But he has an accent. And I'm basically following him, not literally following him, but I'm showing up in each theater. And after three theaters, he's like, I know you are here to make fun of me. And I'm like, no, I wasn't either. I was not there to make – I've never made public those shoots because – there's a sadness to them, really.
Yeah.
But I have all those on. Yeah.
I think the flip side, though, you know, the fact that you thought his movie was a really just over the top Tim and Eric sketch.
Yeah.
Says a lot about Tim and Eric because I've seen so many bad videos, like a promo video or a commercial, and there's that moment where you're like, is this Tim and Eric?
Yeah.
Like, that's how amazing those guys are at that. That you watch real things now, and you start to think maybe this is a Tim and Eric idea.
Yeah. Kind of a reverse Poe effect. It's kind of weird.
They're the worst movie I think I saw that I'm aficionado, but the worst movie I think I saw was like RoboCop 3.
Yeah.
When it came out in theaters, it was like the big deal. It was rated PG-13. Couldn't do blow off the girl's boobs. It was like, where's the excitement if you're not doing blow off a girl's boobs in RoboCop?
I feel that way about life.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, except, you know, I don't do blow. But yeah.
Now, before we get it, I can't do blow off anybody anymore. I've done it before.
Anymore.
I can't. It makes me ill. It makes me ill.
Off but other things, yes. Off people know.
right. Yes. Right. I can start it off class. What are you? I'm not an idiot. So, all right, before we move to the religious discussions, which we always do on Ardent Atheist, because this is Ardent Atheist, and we go after religion pretty aggressively. I came across, actually, I found out about what I'm going to tell you about on Facebook when Lana Hines, she mentioned that somebody had put a minion on her desk. And apparently the minion that sat on her desk was so sensitive that even when she would just set down her cup on the desk, it would just say something, and she was...
Show it in the camera.
Yeah, and she was having a really, really bad time with this. Mm. So I went and I got a minion, and...
little guy.
So God.
The reason I went and got him was not because Lana had mentioned that it was on her desk and she didn't understand what was going on.
Other way, yes, yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Crush it.
You
crush
like, it. You like picking the nose.
I do. Apparently I like picking noses of things.
You poked his eye out. So I went and got this, and the reason was... Somebody in the thread had said, did you hear about the minions that cuss? Now, when a toy comes out that curses, I will run over people to drive out and get it before they pull it off the shelves. Because that's what we do in our puritanical shitball of a society. And the toys never cuss. The audible pareidolia that is turning a sound into something that you're familiar with that isn't meant to be that is at play. Someone didn't sneak into the studio and put a cuss word inside the minion. All right, let me turn it up really loud. It's going to be kind of. There you go.
There it is.
There it is.
You heard it, right?
There it is.
Did I tell you when you picked it up? Had I told you what it was?
Yes.
So I shouldn't have done that. What the fuck? But you knew it was going to say what the fuck.
I heard about it through the grapevine.
Oh, you already knew.
I forget things, so.
All right. Me too. What the fuck? So here's the deal.
We all said what the fuck.
There was another McDonald's toy. I have it sitting in my drawer over there that I actually had to buy off eBay because you couldn't find any of them. And it cusses too. Toys apparently.
That cuss. You have a collection? Somebody must have a collection of toys that cuss.
Well, I have two.
That'd be great.
That qualifies as a collection.
Yeah, there you go. You're a collector.
This on the shelf. These are the curse toys.
So that's the story of the minion that I have on the table here. I rushed out, and they had three in stock. I didn't know which one cussed, so I bought three. And that's the one right there that cusses. with the orange. These are cavemen? Is that right?
Well,
there's a bunch of different minions in the movie.
One's a caveman.
Can you explain what the minions are to me? Because I am an adult and I don't know what that is.
So Despicable Me, the bad guy who ends up being a good guy, has these little yellow henchmen, minions.
Minions.
And so they did two movies. They were so popular now the minions have their own movie, minus the original main character.
Ah.
So it's sort of their backstory.
I see.
And they go from prehistoric time up to modern times. So that's why
they look like little cavemen.
From when they first started.
Ah. Hmm. Heather has minions.
I have minions. I have many minions.
Do you? Many minions.
I have many minions.
Lucky you.
So rush out and get these because they're going to be a collector's item pretty soon because they're going to pull them off the shelves because anybody who thinks they can hear a dirty word believes that that's what's happening.
People just want to complain about shit. That's all.
It's like Disney movies.
Yeah.
We all know about the hidden meaning and there hidden messages actually and all hidden, that stuff.
Yeah. You know, same shit. I don't think that's what this is. I think this is just a sound. Although, that sounds... Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think that was intentional, but yeah, it definitely sounds like even if you don't know that's supposed to happen, it still sounds like.
Well, I didn't know what was up, and then I listened to it, and I was like, whoa.
Well, don't they test these things? That's the thing. You would think that they would test them. Maybe they only test them for choking.
Choking hazards. I could choke on that.
If you want to take it one level deeper, it's like, why is fuck a bad word?
Well, I'm with you on that.
Right? It's like...
argument here.
We could say, why the sex? Well, okay, but, you know, are you a man or a woman?
Well, these are being handed out to kids. There are people who don't want their children to say fuck in school for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, well...
But it's an issue. And what blows my mind is the people that are complaining about it. I remember when I was a teenager... I thought...
You do? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I'm luckily. I remember when I was in my teens, and I saw all of these grown-ups just apoplectic over certain things like language and ideas and music and backward masking and,
You know? And I thought, I really can't wait to like grow up and these dumbasses have died off. And I can live in a world where people don't fucking panic over bullshit.
I was at a camp that happened to be a Christian camp. Mm-hmm. And the chef was amazing. He was this Christian chef, basically. And he changed his life and all that stuff. And I said, dude, you're fucking awesome. And he's like, you know where you are, right? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I cuss spiritually, dude. I just told you you're fucking awesome.
Nice. Like, that's nice.
Yeah.
So
it's a kind and kindness. It's
yeah.
Kind.
Yeah, yeah. The language thing has always bothered me. I don't know. People get kids and then they just turn into this other thing, you know? I think that's what's going on. It's really bizarre.
One great thing that my mom did for me, I grew up pretty religious. I don't think I've ever even told this story before, but we were at some Christian, you know, concert. It was like outside in the daytime. And we had just sat down and had, like, got a little sandwich or something, and people were singing on the stage. And I was a kid who had loved wearing the peace sign. I had peace sign everything, jewelry, I had T-shirts. I had, you know, it was a symbol that I liked, and I went for it.
Hippies.
Yeah, well, yeah, in the 80s. Mm. And so this lady walked up to me and said, young lady, did you know that the peace sign is a sign of the devil? And before she could even get the word wow. devil out, my mom jumped up with food in her mouth and said, no, it is not. I'm doing with the food. Not the sign of the devil. And I was just like, I was in shock. And that woman, I was in so much shock, I don't even remember what happened after that. I just remember going, mom's awesome.
That's an awesome. I've never heard that story. I love that story. All right, we'll be right back because you know why? Yeah, it's time for a break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
Bye, everybody.
We'll miss you.
Well, we'll be back.
Okay.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile Comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in Magatorium.
Oh, my God.
ROAD.com/Emery Emery. Buy the damn thing.
You rushed that.
I did.
Why is the Dalai Lama so careful when he leaves his garage?
Why?
So his karma won't run over his dogma.
Awful.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Buster Balloon and Nick Levin. Thanks for being here, guys.
Is that how you pronounce your name?
My pleasure.
Is it Levin or Levine?
I'm a Levin.
Are you Levine?
I know. Right. The Levines and Levines get mad if you say their name wrong, and it's hilarious.
They do.
Oh, it's a classic.
Usually, Levine would be end in an E, right?
General, and Levine general. Does, too.
Oh, right.
Oh, fuck. Damn. That's funny.
Yeah. And then they come to me and go, it's Levine. I'm like, whatever. I'm 11.
I'm 11.
It's close.
I'd be like, it's Levini, okay? It's Levine. So shut up.
Shut up. Yeah. Thank God I don't take myself that seriously.
Nick, you were, I'm guessing Jewish. You were raised Jewish. Oh, you said that earlier, that you were raised Jewish.
I was Jewish.
Jewish.
Ish.
So you were raised in that reformed Jewish world?
I don't know.
No?
You're a Jew, Nick. Okay.
That's it?
Something close to that, basically.
Were you bar mitzvah?
Nothing
or that?
Like that.
Is your mom Jewish?
No.
Yeah. Is that how it happened?
No, it happened because I didn't know my mom until I was 12.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was Jewish. So I was like, I'm a Jew.
I'm
and
a
then,
Jew.
Like, my mom was like, whatever. And in boot camp, an officer who was, you know, when you go to see a religious person, I saw a rabbi. And I'm like, can I say I'm a Jew? He's like, you're a Jew. I'm like, okay.
Why?
And whatever. That was it. So I needed to feel comfortable somewhere. But I really didn't feel comfortable. But.
Yeah.
I wanted to identify something, so I identified as Jewish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Buster. Are you a Jew?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
You mean you're not circumcised then?
Hey,
this is really good water.
I was raised in a Christian household, or a number of Christian households, and much into my teens, it was discovered... I was always told my background was Dutch mix. That was the phrase everybody threw around, right?
Dutch oven mix.
I see what you did there.
It was awful.
I don't think they killed the Jews with a blanket and farts.
Close. Bad.
But,
man.
Yeah,
you feel bad. Look at you.
Horrible.
My grandmother and her sisters were in an orphanage until they were in their teens, and then they just walked out of the orphanage, were never adopted. So there was, we didn't have her birth certificate. They always said fire, can't find it, don't know where it is. There was a horrible fire and we lost it. And so we thought there was no birth certificate. So,
You can reorder those things. What, I think
my grandma was born in like 19 aught whatever,
yeah.
Right?
So
it's different than when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. I just ordered a new birth certificate.
Yeah.
It's my long form one, too.
So apparently somebody in my family started doing that whole family tree hunt it down thing and indeed found, like you said, it wasn't easy, but there was a copy somewhere that was found of my grandmother's birth certificate.
I still don't understand that.
What?
How did they do it?
The whole genealogy. No, the people who look at their family 10
why
generations
they do it,
back
mean?
And all that. Yeah, it's like I'm kind of in the thought of like, okay, good. Okay, now I know what those people who I've never met who back then. And then unless I'm inheriting money,
yeah,
you know, like.
I guess I would point you to when you said I'm a Jew. Okay, I'm a Jew. I mean, I think people want to find an identity, I guess. Yeah.
For me, I think it would be, I mean, as a black person, I would want to know kind of where my roots, and a biracial one as well, I want to know where my roots came from. And, you know, I kind of know a little bit, but it's just hearsay. It's what people tell you down the line. Another reason why I could see somebody wanting to do it is for, you know, medical purposes. Just in case you want to know if you have any kind of... family in your line that, you know, maybe had cancer or rare disease or something like that.
Or why you were lactose intolerant.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I have the heart problems and the lactose intolerant problems, so I'm screwed.
Jesus Christ. Nature's trying to do what Hitler couldn't.
I know. We're Jews, right? So apparently we were, you know, I was a Jew, but my dad, his brother, my grandfather, my dog all died of heart attacks.
What?
And they all died
of heart attacks.
You're
related to your dog?
Yeah, no. But all the humans, they all died in their 50s and 60s.
Wow.
Except for one of my grandfathers in the 70s, but all heart conditions, all of them. So,
well, my family lives, on my father's side, lives a really long time. On my mother's side, not so long.
Yeah, see.
So my grandmother lived to be in her 90s, and my dad is, you know, he's not even doing well, but I think he's going to be sticking around for a long time. And, you know, and everyone seems to do well on my father's side, so... I look more like my father. I think that's a good thing, right? Buster,
you look good the way you are.
Thank
well,
you.
My grandma's birth certificate was found.
Sorry.
I wanted to get back to that because I
thought we have the same haircut.
I thought you were about to move us out of this.
No, yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, I'm not going to let you because I was going to say, it turns out my grandmother was most likely Jewish. And that's and by that I mean they discovered her name was, we knew her as Hammer. She knew herself as Hammer. They discovered her birth name was Hammerstein. Or Stein, I don't know which.
Through the genealogy search.
Well, when they found a birth certificate, they discovered this.
Oh.
And her name had been truncated down. When that's done in the era that it was done for her when she was a kid, that was done to escape the Nazi menace, the possible thing. It was coming around, right?
Yeah.
And so they also, I think they were also able to discover that the mother died in the plague or something. And the father therefore couldn't just take care of these three daughters on his own, so he put them in an orphanage to get better care. And he put them in a Christian orphanage and truncated the names. So those pieces of information suggest hiding from the Nazis, protecting from the Nazis rather. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Christianized them and cleansed them. That's the kind of ethnic cleansing you can get away with without being a dickhead. So my grandma always thought she was a Christian. She was in a Christian orphanage, all that. And it turns out, I'm pretty sure when I do that $99 test, they're going to find some Jewish blood in me. Mm-hmm. And it also would explain the inability to deal with dairy in later in life. That's a logical thing.
That's a thing.
It's a gene thing.
Wow.
Do you know about that?
No.
There are groups of in Europe there are groups of people who were early on exposed to cattle milk, and then there are groups that were not. The groups that were not cannot deal well with lactose. The groups that were are fine with lactose.
What does that mean when you're able to drink milk as a small kid and then you grow out of it? What is that? How does that work?
That's when you're a cat.
I think that just sucks.
It does
I'm
suck.
A big fan of dairy.
Well, I was able to do it until I was in my 30s. I should have stopped earlier. I should have stopped somewhere early 30s, but I didn't stop really until my late 30s, 40s. Oh, I guess 40s. And that's when I discovered that it's not normal to be sick every and feel
but,
sick.
But
every
you
night.
Stopped at an era where they have all sorts of delicious mm-hmm. kinds of non-dairy ice creams. When I became lactose intolerant, they didn't have shit.
Well, I always say I just don't drink milk because I like to have friends.
You don't want to know me when I eat ice cream.
Yeah,
yogurt's okay because it's processed differently.
Yeah, I can eat yogurt.
Milk, it's like whoa.
So you can do yogurt? I haven't even done yogurt because I was afraid it would just be awful too.
Different. Processed.
I wonder
way
if I can
different.
Do yogurt.
You have to try. You just have to try.
Yeah,
and then have your backup plan just in case.
Yeah, right.
But it should be fine. Yeah.
I got a good toilet. I'm fine.
There you go.
Take the day off just in case.
Yeah, you can drink milk though. You're good with milk though.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
Just grab the gallon. Just
dude. You know, I like.
What's your background? German.
I'm all over the place.
All over the place.
We're European mutts.
Yeah.
It was like Scottish, English, a little bit of Italian. It's a tiny, tiny bit of Native American.
How were you raised religiously? Anything?
Sort of casual Christian.
Casual Christian. I like that.
The lazy thumpers?
Yeah, like we're Christian. We never actually went to church or anything. We just are. That's
yeah.
Like the Jew-ish.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just something like if Christ-ish. You had to fill out a form and they ask you what you are, Christ-ish. You just put Christian.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah.
Do you believe there's an afterlife and a God?
No, not anymore.
So you've kind of gone the atheist way.
I started out, you know, raised Christian-ish. And then as I got older, I went into, like, paganism, Wicca, tried all of that. Because I didn't find any answers.
Yeah, you just liked the clothing and the jewelry.
That was cool, too. Yeah, I had, like,
and the sex.
Yeah, so I'm like, complete polar opposite now. Because I used to have, like, long hair, beard, all this silver jewelry everywhere, all that.
I can see the trench coat.
Totally, of course. Of course I have the trench coat. The boots, all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see that picture. That'd be sick.
I want to see these pictures, too. Go back Thursday.
Did you go to the Renaissance Fair a lot? A
couple times, yeah. I did a few of those. Yeah, so tried all that. Tried Buddhism for you know, 5 minutes, and then eventually just, none of it made sense.
It's just all is just kind of silly.
I tried the gamut, and I think for a long time, I felt really guilty not believing in something, just because I had been raised believing in something.
Well, there is a social fear that you won't be trusted, did you go through that? I called
there's
myself
a little bit of
spiritual
that.
For a long time, because I didn't want people to think I was amoral. Mm. You know, because I had been conditioned to think that people who don't have a religious belief system are amoral and bad.
That's such a. I hate it when people use that argument of, well, how would you know it's right or wrong?
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
Like, well, me stabbing you feels horrible. Right. You being stabbed sucks. Like, right. You would know that's wrong.
Right.
You don't have to believe in God to know that.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't get that argument that people use religion-wise.
You were raised lazy Jewish,
mm.
and then you found your way to Buddhism?
Lazy Jew.
Yes.
Okay.
It describes me well, yeah.
So you call yourself lazy Jew.
That's true.
That's mixing yeah. epithets, isn't that's, it? That doesn't yeah, work right. at
They're
all.
Not known for that, though, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not here to
judge.
Yeah. yeah.
Actually, I thought it was like laissez Jew.
like laissez-faire.
Yes.
Laissez
Jew. That's what we meant to say.
Yeah.
Just a very relaxed
oh, the Jews.
Thanks for saving us, Buster.
I still like making fun of them.
Yeah, we're going down racial insensitivity, and you pull yeah. us right out of the fire. Well done, sir.
Sad.
That's a guy who does children's shows.
Yeah, Buster, tell us about what you do real quick.
I do children's shows.
Okay, that's enough.
Oh, God. That sounded just...
He's
I
he's
can't
like,
imagine
oh,
what Buster Balloon
show.
Does for kids.
I do children.
Who'd have guessed? I can't. But I think, you know, aside from the, you know, the not being trusted thing, it wasn't even that. I think I just, all my life, I believed there was something.
Yeah.
And everyone I knew believed there was something.
Yeah. But did you?
And so it just... I thought there has to be. Everybody believes in it.
Right.
There's got to be something beyond this.
Right.
You know, maybe it's not Christian, maybe it's something else, but there's got to be something. And eventually it's just like, maybe they're all just wrong.
Yeah.
yeah.
And finally I was okay with that.
Took a while, huh?
Do you yeah. are you a type of person who actually thinks about it much or doesn't think about it much? It doesn't come up or, you know,
at this point I don't think about it much.
Yeah.
It used to, I mean when I believed, yeah, I thought about it all the time.
Yeah.
Mostly that, you know, I wasn't finding answers. Like, if this is true, then why doesn't this happen? There was no cause and effect. Nothing made sense. And finally, it was like, yeah, I'm okay with, you know, no afterlife. I'm okay with just this is it.
Did
and
you
when
have,
it's over.
Did you ever, like, believe in creationism or any of that stuff? Evolution?
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
It was just stories that were told, right?
Really, yeah. Okay. Like, the creation thing, like, if I'm wrong, if there actually is a God and all that, the creation thing has to tie in to evolution, because the creation thing is a really nice story, but there is overwhelming evidence of these big lizard things that were here before us.
Yeah. Come on, people.
Like,
if a fucking balloon twister can get this, why can't Ken Ham?
What do you mean by that?
Nothing. It's stupid.
Oh, Ken Ham is a national treasure. Really?
Yeah. Kind of like Trump?
Really? Oh. Honestly, I just, someday, I'm not going to be surprised if, like, Ken Ham and Rush Limbaugh just come out and go, we were just kidding.
I know.
Just, it mm-hmm. was a goof.
Well, I mean, Ken Ham almost has no choice but to do that or die he's a social disgrace. I mean,
I don't know who that is, but
Oh, Ken Ham.
Oh. He's magic.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me enlighten the Buddhist.
Enlighten me. I need it. Yeah.
Listen, Ken Ham is building an ark in not it sounds worse than it is.
Really?
I'm sorry. Is building an ark. For people to pay money to come and see in this big, huge, what do you call those things that
ship.
He's building?
You know, like a museum.
It's an amusement park.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
It's like an amusement park.
Oh, like the Jesus Museum Park.
Yeah, yeah,
Florida.
It's a Jesus
yeah.
park. And he's building the park. And they have the park already, right? I don't know.
It's still being built.
The whole park? I thought they had the park and they're adding the thing, but I could be wrong. Here's the deal. He's a 6,000 or 5,000 year Earth. I don't know which the number's accurate because they're both stupid. But he's a 5,000 year creationist. He thinks that it was by the letter in the right.
Okay.
And ignores the fact that there's shit in the Bible that's just utter insane nonsense that couldn't possibly happen. But when you've got a magic guy,
right,
who can do virtually anything. Oh. Then you can make sense of that in your head, and which I did once. Well, I wasn't a 5,000 year.
It's really
guy,
people not advancing their any, you know, from that time when they had nothing to go on really, and they were like, yeah, that sounds right, and then just continuing it as evidence showed.
Yeah, well, basically. I mean, if you buy into this is the divine word of God,
right,
then you can't really do the logical thing.
There was nothing else back then.
The people that I suppose should get our respect the most are the people who don't pick and choose, are the people who go full bore and take it word for word. I mean, that's the most logical, because the pick and choosers, now they're just making shit up as they go.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a big difference there. So Ken Ham debated Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Okay.
Now you know, you got
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yes.
What were you going to say, Heather?
It looks like the park is open.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So there's a park, and they're adding an arc to the park.
Yes. Where is this?
It's the new arc in the park.
Oh, God.
I just enjoy saying
sounds
those
awesome.
Two things.
It's called, gosh, I've lost the page.
It's all right.
So when Heather said the park is open, I had the most spectacular reimagining of Jurassic Park in my head.
I would love a Jurassic
Park. M's version of Jurassic Park.
I think I would, if they could build Jurassic Park, and it was as dangerous as and deadly as Jurassic Park itself is, I would still be for it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's worth it.
Do you remember the 2012 movie?
Yeah.
That horrible, that was, speaking of a bad movie.
Or 2001 A Space Odyssey is what came in my head.
No, 2012, where they said the world's going to end December 12, 2012.
Yeah,
movie where basically what happened is, the main characters run away from cracks in the world, okay?
Yeah. And I didn't see the movie, but I remember.
Run, crack, 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 run. So then next thing you know, they go to the Himalayas, blah, blah, blah. And what do you see but helicopters flying with two of every animal?
Yes, I remember
and they're
that.
They're going to the ships. They're going to the ships, right? And you're thinking maybe these are spaceships, right? The whole time they're saying going to the ships, only 100, 200,000 people can make it, right? They get to the ships, and what are they? Big floating ships with covers, and they're putting animals in it. And their arcs.
No,
to fight floods.
No, they're not.
Yes. And then when the flood happens,
we have
and the
to
world's
going to
end. It's amazing. When the flood ends, guess what happens?
What?
30 days later, they find land.
In
Africa. And they have satellites, and all the world's okay because they're on these ships.
Wow.
It's one of the worst things. I thought it was prophecy. I thought they were going to do like some kind of native prophecy because that's how they advertised it. No. It was cracks and the Noah's Ark and... Sadness.
And two of every animal
being
flown on strings under helicopters.
Yes.
Two zebras, like helicopters with lines down. And zebras are just flying through the air.
Best thing ever.
Like a giraffe.
They
and
did
shit.
That?
Yes.
You saw this?
I remember, yeah.
I'm so on board with this movie. I'm already seeing the trailers, like, I don't want to see this. Now I want to see this.
Oh, yeah.
Now I feel like I missed out not seeing it on the big screen.
Totally wrong. This is about as up to date as Sharknado.
That should have been the trailer. That would have taken me to the theater. I'd have gone for that.
And by the way, what time is it right now? 8:07.
It's time to do
that
a break.
That means Sharknado is currently going on my DVR.
Yes.
And we are going to watch, after the show, we are going to watch Penn and Teller in Sharknado, aren't we? Are we going to do that?
I am.
You're goddamn right.
I'm down.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store more. After this insufferable disruption...
News, everyone.
That's right, good news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We already do the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the Donate More If You Want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Here's one for you. You ready?
I'm
what
ready.
What did the Buddhist write in his suicide note?
I don't know.
What did he say?
Be right back, cruel world.
Oh, my God.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3,
and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Buster Balloon and Nick Levin. That was amazing. Have you done that to me before?
No.
God damn,
that
I wish I
was reading the line so I could have said the same thing. I just
really
made noise.
Funny. Well, when I started the show, you started reading the show.
I did.
You're in a fuck with me mood tonight.
No. No, honey.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
So we're got some Buddhist jokes in there for you.
Yay.
Yeah. And... we couldn't find any balloon jokes. I'm sorry.
It's probably for the best.
So, atheist jokes.
But you know, Buster here makes some epic freaking balloon.
Oh, I've seen.
Things.
I've absolutely seen.
Dogs.
Did you bring
balloons? Flowers.
You make more than that.
Did you bring anything? Did you bring
multi-layer things?
I'm just kind of ballooned out. It's been a long day.
And then you have tomorrow, which is going to be all day
right,
as
yeah.
well.
Okay.
Yeah. So where can people see your balloons?
Places where I do things.
Okay.
They go to busterballoon.com.
Okay.
There's photos
That's
and videos cool. and my whole calendar. So if you want to bring the kids to see my balloon shows somewhere for free, those are all posted there. And
here in LA.
I talk about religion and stuff there.
You don't.
We'll keep that here.
Okay.
Roger that.
Will you? Can you make there us a Jesus balloon?
I'd love
a Jesus on the cross?
I would never do that. Never, ever do that.
There's video, Buster. We got video.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I want that. I really want a Jesus on the cross.
I'm going to say this with no commentary at all, just stating facts here.
Okay.
I used to have a friend, who's still a friend, but there's a guy who put out a whole series of gospel balloon videos.
Oh, no.
So he did gospel lessons using balloons.
Yeah.
And... Again, even when I was Christian, I wasn't terribly religious.
Yeah.
So not really my cup of tea, but this thing was spectacular. He actually made a tree of knowledge that was like 4 foot tall, the tree
wow.
of knowledge, and talks about the tree and life and
he naked
and all
Adam
that.
And Eve.
Wait
balloons.
For it.
Okay.
No, so he gets to the end of the message and he snips one little balloon that's around the middle, and all the balloons that make up the tree explode. Like, they just go whoosh, like, all fly open. And there, 3 foot tall, is Christ on the cross made out of balloons in the center of this tree.
Oh,
wow. It was
spectacular. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Read that video.
I love while you were telling that story, you were kind of tapping the table a little, and this kept happening. What the fuck?
That's what he's saying.
What the fuck?
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but he had a whole series.
Is that on video somewhere?
There's a VHS of it somewhere.
I might be able to dig up.
Right. But yeah, he had put out a lot of videos, just instructional videos, but there was a chunk of them that he had done that were just for people who did Sunday schools and things like that to do messages with balloons.
Are there a lot of religious balloon people? I mean, I know that there are some religious magicians.
My mind when a magician is religious.
There's still some. When I came into the balloon world, like when I discovered there actually was a balloon industry, like there were conventions and stuff, was maybe 15 years ago, I think.
Uh-huh.
I went to my first convention.
That makes you 17 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I go to my first convention, and when I went to the first convention, it was pretty much all retirees and bored housewives. That was the entire convention. And there was a really...
Bored Housewives do balloons.
Really, yeah, just something fun to do on the weekend.
Why is that not a reality show? Yeah. Bored Housewives.
I'm thinking Nick's. Right. No, balloons.
So we go to this convention, and that's the group, and it was very, very, very religious. Like, very. There were no naughty balloons or anything. Mm. And then little by little, like, right after I came in, this younger crop started coming in. So my first convention, I was 31, 32, and I was like the young pup of the group at that time. So now this new crop comes
year?
In.
What are we talking?
Yeah.
Like you know, guys who are like 15, 16 come in, and they're learning from all these people who've been doing it for 20 years. So now at 15 or 16, they have the 20 years that somebody else has put into the art. And now they come back 2 years later, and they're just blowing everybody away.
Mm. Yeah, this is how reincarnation is meant to work.
Yes, yeah. Basically.
Right?
Yeah. With balloons.
With balloons. That's the idea.
Yeah. It's actually reinflation. it changed the whole scene. And now, you know, we still get the religious group, but, you know, there's late night classes where they can make adult balloons and discuss those things. Right. And now it's
and
not
discuss how to make a penis.
Yeah, no, there have been late night classes where I would never do this, of course, because I'm happy children's entertainer. But I have a very good friend who invented a penis that actually ejaculates.
No way.
Yeah. It's big balloon penis.
I have to ask one question.
At the end, they just twist the end and white balloons come flying out the end of it.
So my question is, cut or uncut?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
My question was
personal preference.
Do they make sex toy balloons? Do they ever like have like parties?
I've actually seen someone do that. I haven't seen any of them
used. Look at your face.
Someone at a convention in Europe, because Europe, nobody cares. Like that was the great thing. My first trip to Europe for a balloon convention. All bets were off.
Yeah.
They didn't care. They didn't have the prudishness that we originally had with the balloon convention.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I walk into the convention, and they've got this big jam room where people are playing with balloons and experimenting, and someone had made usable working sex toys out of balloons.
Well, I think...
Epic.
God I think bless Belgium.
Every time I watch Brett Loudermilk deep throat a fucking balloon, I'm watching someone work with a sex toy.
Right. There's that.
Right? Yeah,
you can do that.
I mean, that's... I get rock hard watching that. That's... The Republicans should be shutting him down.
Well, plus it's Brett, and Brett's pretty dreamy.
Yeah, so yeah. With or without the facial hair, he's fucking perfect, that guy. So I want to talk a little about Buddhism. I want to talk a lot about Buddhism with you. Is that all right, Nick?
If I can entertain your genius, yes.
My genius?
Yes.
Stop it. I have... I don't like religion.
From balloons to Buddhism.
Balloons to Buddhism, right? Dude.
This is our
genius. You've just named the show.
I like this show.
You've just named the show. Well done.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
Good for you. The least harmful religion out there, and I think all are harmful, including this one. But in my opinion, the least harmful religion. You've chosen the least harmful religion. And that's Buddhism. It seems to me that it's the one, especially when practiced by Californians.
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I don't. Okay.
Whoa! No! You disagree.
I don't know if I disagree. Okay. I just don't know if that's accurate.
Okay. That's called disagreeing. You Buddhist? Here's the deal.
No, it's literally... I don't know why it would be in California. Maybe you can enlighten me as to why you think in California...
Most of my friends is what I'm talking about. So
okay.
it's a data set of mine. You know what I mean? It's a bullshit data set.
Okay, there
most of my friends adopt the Buddhist ideas and ideals lazily, you know, almost pamphlet religion belief.
Right.
And I think that's relatively harmless.
The cool thing about you mean in that sense. Okay, I get what you're saying.
That's what I mean.
The cool thing about practicing Buddhist principles is that you can, I mean, Buddhism honors people who are just awesome is the point.
Yeah.
So you'll find, you know, even monks will go out and be like, yo, that nun over there, she's great. Like, she's enlightened. She's, you know, without... trying to separate, you know, they're not about being, oh, I'm Buddhist, so I'm the bomb, like I'm the best. No, it's about living the principles. So you don't have to necessarily identify yourself as a Buddhist and follow the whole doctrine thing to practice. And as long as they're contributing goodness to people's lives, that's the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's really simple. Yeah. As long as those principles and actions.
Can you run down the principles for me? Is it really elaborate? Or
well, there's. It's sad part is I'm not good at spewing things off the top of my head all the time.
I don't. You're not. But you came here as a favor to Heather and me, and I won't push on your
feet. I appreciate that. Okay. The core ethics and principles that I go by are passing love and kindness. If you ask the Dalai Lama what's a religion, he'll tell you love.
Yeah.
It's about being. You know, there was the four noble truth and the eightfold path, which are ways, which are things like right action, right livelihood. You know, honesty, simple principles. And it's literally an understanding that our, you know, attachments lead to suffering. And
say that again?
Attachments lead to suffering.
Attachments.
What are attachments? What do you
mean?
Well,
to things and to people.
Yeah.
It's not just things. A lot of people think it's, you know, get rid of your stuff. It's also get rid of your attachments in general.
It's unhealthy. I mean, we're not talking about extremes. We're talking about healthy balance of, you know, we all understand that we're human, so we're going to be attached, but if you look at, for instance, addiction, particularly, if you were to say unhealthy attachments and addiction are there together, and so those things can lead to suffering, and our attachment to those things lead to, you know, it's, you know, most of our suffering comes when we lose something or something leaves, and so if you understand that, my experience is that there's also another principle is that basically everything changes and everything goes away. Okay, so I know that my friend over here, we became dear, dear friends. I know he's going to die one day. I know I may not talk to him one day. Right? I accept those.
Yeah.
Simple fact.
Right?
Fact.
Right.
If I can do that, then I can treat him better today, knowing that I don't have to think that he's going to, you know, for me, it makes me feel better because I know I accept that everything's going to go away. So for today, as in trying to be in the moment, it's easier to be forgiving, loving, kind.
I feel like that's an atheistic position too.
You could be atheist and be a Buddhist.
Thing. Yeah. What are you going to say?
What I get from atheism is that, you know, it's the idea that there is no
tomorrow,
beyond
no
this.
Eternal.
Right. There's nobody guiding this. I have what I have. I have the friends I have, and I've got to appreciate them now while I can, because at some point they're going to be gone, or I'm going to be gone, and there's nothing beyond that.
And that's
a very atheistic, agnostic perspective that you're talking about there. That's pretty cool.
Universal stuff. It's not really that. Off, you know, and so for me, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I could do that.
Yeah,
you know, I could understand that everything, how I see, there's perspective, and Buddhism talks from way back, and then it goes into science, which accepts science. It doesn't want to fight science.
Yep.
So the belief system that I understand that everything is how I see it, my perspective shapes my reality.
Yeah.
When I was trying to find what my reality was, and I found Buddhism, I was like, whoa, okay, I get that. Like, I could do that. I can understand that.
And you
did
it without hallucinogens.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Without hallucinogens. Just searching, you know, and I was like, wow, that's pretty sweet. And that just kind of led me down the path of going, all right, love, kindness, contributing goodness. I want to do that. Okay. And I want to accept a lot of people have died in my life. I get that. Okay. And it just kind of led me down the path of going, this is all relatively, if I practice those ethics and principles from what I've read and all that kind of stuff, practicing love and kindness, and I don't have to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to subscribe.
I want to jump back to attachment. When talking about like drugs.
Yeah.
It seems to try to define them in a black and white sense. Is there any room in the belief for moderation? You know what I mean?
the principles.
I know a lot of people who smoke pot, and there are people whose lives are not necessarily made miserable by the use of that particular drug. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who are made to be abjectly, their lives are abjectly awful as a result of abuse of that drug. Well, is there room in the belief for moderate use of certain things?
There's a funny saying, and it's, everything's okay in moderation, even moderation.
My joke is the opposite. Everything in moderation, except that.
Except that.
Except that.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other. But that's kind of the idea, is that, and part of it, though, is wanting to accept, be in reality. You know, part of it, a principle is wanting to be in reality. And you could say, when you meditate, which is a part of being a Buddhist, it often is meditation, that some people would say, you're not in reality, you're in a meditative state, things like that. So you can really go back and forth about the perspectives of it, but at least in meditation, it's not a chemically enhanced thing, generally. But, I mean, come on, I'm sure there's Buddhists out there who smoke weed and stuff like that. I mean, they're human. It's not like, and the cool thing I love about Buddhism is that it accepts perfection.
Go on.
It accepts perfection.
What do you mean?
Well, without, Everybody has errors. Everybody has mistakes.
I don't. What?
Well, yeah, I know. Huh? Except you.
You're a perfect
except
liar.
Except you. And my the cool part is that well, it leads to an acceptance.
Yeah.
It leads to an acceptance of without fighting, of understanding that we all have those things. How I read it and when I was looking it up, I was like, wow, okay, it's perfect how it needs to be, and I just need to see what this is and go from there. And it's a weird level of acceptance that helped me gain a lot of not fighting things.
Interesting.
Always think things are wrong. Always think that, you know, things are whatever. Just not have these negative perspectives. It just
Christian faith teaches us, the Jews I think do this too, that mankind is imperfect, mm-hmm. and incapable of perfection. I mean, mm-hmm. this whole opposite take on things. And I always am frustrated by that because I think that we are incredible beings. Well, I think we're just insanely amazing.
I think it's so weird that people, God made us, but we're imperfect. Well, gee, huh. And you think God's perfect then? Like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I think that, and first off, just to be clear, I practice more of a Theravada Tibetan practice Buddhism, under the Dalai Lama's world, because there's different areas. So that's the one that I kind of read up and follow.
Well, tell us more about the Terracotta version.
Theravada? I'm not familiar with all of it, to be honest with
you. I'm hungry.
I know the blunt, basic versions of it. I mean, I've done a good amount of reading, yet I have, full disclosure,
it's Tibetan.
Yes, more of it's the Tibetan practice.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other practices, but there's the Zen from Japan, there's the SGI, Sogoku Gokai, which claims Buddhism from Japan, which is another version that they call themselves Buddhist, but some Buddhists I've met and monks have been like, okay, not their practice, basically.
Right.
But the one I follow is under that lineage, if you're looking at, sections.
Right.
Do you go to any services or anything like that?
There's not many. That's the weird part. I've seen one that I want to go visit in. I just recently found it just outside of Hollywood, but there's not many. And so I've kind of, it's odd being a lone Buddha, because we're all Buddhas in Buddhism, meaning we all have love and we're all
everyone's capable of enlightenment.
Of love and kindness and enlightenment.
Yeah.
So while I'm not alone and I have a lot of people who are spiritual and accepting, who live by similar principles as I do, most people don't identify as Buddhist practitioners. And so
How long
okay.
have you been doing this?
I'd say, I think, 6-7 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, I have really bad ADHD and severe diagnosed, actually.
Well, and one of the best things you can do for that is meditation.
It helps meditation and presence and being present for my everything I'm doing. Including me speaking to you right now, I have to do everything I can in my power to stay. Yeah, I know, right? I get distracted by shiny things. Yeah. So
when, and you go to burlesque?
I know. It took me a year to read my favorite book. Yeah. It was called Awakening the Buddha Within by Lama Surya Das.
Yeah.
Great book. It took me a year to read it.
I can relate to this. I have this issue.
Okay. And so, but it was cool, though, is that in reading the book, I read two pages, three pages at a time, and then I get to practice what I learned.
Yeah.
It's like a manual.
Yeah.
So it was cool because I couldn't read the whole thing front cover to cover in a day, yet I got to read it, take it in, practice it, and go, okay, that's cool. It works for me. Because Buddhism is about practicing what you learn. If it works for you, great.
Huh.
And that's what happened. I was like, all right, I can do this.
Yeah. One of the things that we see religion taking advantage of, all religions taking advantage of, is coming in and filling, from an emotional standpoint usually, filling in the gaps that we aren't able to otherwise fill in and solve, the patches that we require as individuals and human beings. You've just described a really great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as again, I'll say it over and over again on this show, as one of the least harmful religions in the world, in the history of mankind that I can think of, Buddhism really falls in that category. It's one of the least. I find it harmful. I will say this. Mm-hmm. I find it deeply harmful when I look at it from the perspective of the leaders, of the followers of the Dalai Lama in Tibet, the Dalai Lama living in opulence while people living on the hillsides in abject poverty.
Same thing with the Pope and Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see those as, you know, that caste that developed over thousands of years as deeply harmful, and people being walked over by the Chinese and completely slaughtered because they wouldn't raise a fist to the...
He's not allowed to come back to China or Tibet, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'll be honest with you, I don't know his actual living circumstances. I know he travels a lot and teaches, basically.
Yeah.
I don't, nobody's ever, as far as I know, I haven't looked at any documentation of what, how he lives in terms of what he does.
He has
I just haven't. Like, I just, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to argue the point.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's, and for me, it's like not that important, frankly, simply because the practice of the principles and the ethics are what make it for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, what, I don't, it's not about, that's an interesting thing. It's not about necessarily, we follow the Dalai Lama, meaning he's our main guy. Yeah, he is. He's the biggest person there. But what's important is we as people, how we practice those things in our
lives.
Well,
I think
that's how I kind of
I think when analyzing belief systems, listen, the last thing I want to do is have you walk out of here questioning your faith after what I've been saying. That's important to me.
Not at all.
I'm speaking a bit less vitriolic right now than I normally would or do with regard to
He's
that.
He's being
for that
nice.
Reason.
So,
I appreciate that.
Well, it's obviously done great wonders for you in your life, so you're certainly not going to get me yelling about it very loudly.
And, you know, cool. Like I said, we all make, you know, he made mistakes, and I'm sure he's not, you know, untouchable, the Dalai Lama itself, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, and even the belief system says that he's not perfect as well. He's only striving for perfection.
Yeah.
I get that. I understand that. We'll talk more about this at
in the premium portion.
Yeah, in the premium portion of the show. Because that's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like, I'm sorry, I want to thank our guests, Buster Balloon and Nick Levin. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Heather Henderson.
That was me.
Ryan, we missed you, but doggone it, I'm glad you said something because it is Ryan's wife's birthday. We're glad that he did not come in to work today.
Yeah.
Tune in next week when our guest will be.
Oh, who cares?
And we'll be talking about?
Whatever.
Are you depressed again?
Be right back, cruel world.
No. This has been the free version of episode 174. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Slimmer Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Dimmer Winters. He's him.
We always pick on Cameron, but the fact is, I love that fucker. Where can people find you again? Can you tell us?
BusterBalloon.com.
It's that easy, BusterBalloon.com. Do you want to talk about your Twitter account or not?
I don't have any. I have one, but I don't use it.
Yeah, forget it.
He's on Facebook.
All right. You can find him on Facebook if you want to talk to him.
I'm on your page.
Thank you so much. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Why are you whispering?
I don't know. I just whispered it.